This helped me understand the app so much better and saved me so much time of having to like investigate all of these RPC IDs. It took about 15 minutes to set up, and that investment paid massive dividends, and I got a 20K bounty because of this. Alrighty, hackers, we got the This Week in Bug Bounty segment. Three entries this time. First one up is from a collaboration between Hack the Box and HackerOne. There's a AI red teaming CTF going on from September 9th to September 19th, and it gives you an opportunity to try 10 different challenges. What do they say here? Over 9 escalating challenges and 1 final boss. You'll work through AI-powered apps where the goal is to override filters, bypass logic, and extract data you shouldn't have access to. So if you are trying to kind of cut your teeth a little bit into AI red teaming, this is a cool opportunity to work with Hack the Box and HackerOne. So check it out if you're interested. Link will be in the description. Next up is Yes We Hack, one of the amazing sponsors that we have of the podcast. Just wanted to let you know that they are going to be at RootCon this year in the Philippines. They've got a team out there from September 25th to 26th. Definitely go say hi, interact with them. If you see them around, they'd love to meet you and hang out. And then also in line with Yes We Hack, they recently released their Hardware Monitor Dojo Challenge of the Month. This time we got an LFI, and it's looking pretty juicy, you guys. So definitely go check that out if you're wanting to refine some of those Ruby LFI related skills. All right, that's all we've got for the This Week in Bug Bounty segment. Let's head back to the show. All right, hackers, here's the deal. This week we've had a bunch of cancellations and sickness and stuff like that. So this episode's going to be a little bit on the fly, and essentially I was thinking to myself, what am I excited about? What do I want to go yap about for 15 minutes to give them an episode to listen to this week? And what I'm excited about is Kaido. And so what I'm going to cover today is a couple new features and plugins that have been released in Kaido over the past couple months that I think you should know about and that I use on a regular basis. All right, so let's jump right into it. Whether you use Kaido or Burp, I think these are really important features to be aware of because they push the community forward in general, right? So even if you're not using Kaido, maybe you should think about these features and how you can do them in Burp, or sort of bring parity to the ecosystem there, so that we can all enjoy better HTTP proxies. All right, so let's jump right into it. First one, and also I will add, this is sort of extracted from the presentation that I gave at DEF CON in part. I'm definitely not going to be able to go into as much detail as I did there, but this is a little bit of the content of what I talked about at DEF CON. So if you were there, sorry for the repeat, but for the most of you, this will be newish content. Okay. For those of you familiar with Kaido, there's this concept of HTTPQL. And HTTPQL is something we use inside of Kaido to query different sets of data throughout the Kaido ecosystem. You know, sometimes we use it for search, sometimes we use it for filtering, conditional things like match and replace or conditional intercept, that sort of thing. And one of the things I found myself doing pretty often was like, oh, I saw a request, 5 minutes ago, and I need that request. And I'm scrolling and I can't find it. So I'm just going to search for it really quick. One of the things that Kaido does allow you to do is search for the time that a request was created in. So I was, sort of trying to get some workflows in place to figure out how to search quickly within Kaido within a certain time frame. And I built into this plugin called Even Better this feature called Common Filters. And essentially what it does is it gives you a list of filters. I'm going to go ahead and pull it up here because I can't remember which ones. But it's recent, which is within the last 5 minutes, 1 hour, 6 hours, 12 hours, 24 hours. And so you can just kind of attach timestamps really quickly to your HTTPQL queries, and it will limit the amount of, results that you get, which makes the search instantaneous, and also allows you to sort of narrow in on the exact time frame that you want. So that's called Common Filters. They automatically update every minute, so that you can get the latest, updated version of that filter, and they're very convenient to use. So check that out if you're using HTTPQL in Credo. Also, another feature that I recently integrated into the Even Better plugin is convert workflow command palette entries. So a lot of people don't know this, but Credo has a command palette that is pretty awesome, in my opinion. And you can activate it by pressing Control K. And what the integration with convert workflows will do is it will allow you to run, hold on, my dog is barking. All right, dog has been dealt with. I'm back. Anyway, command palette entries have the various convert workflows that you define within Credo, which is super great. So you just type C and then the name of the convert workflow that you want to do. And it takes your currently selected text inside of Credo and runs the convert workflow on that. So if you're actively in replay, you know, where you're modifying stuff, it makes it super easy to be like, okay, you know, you're on code this, basically for encode this super quickly with command palette without having to take your hands off the keyboard. If you're not inside of replay or like an editable editor, it just copies it right to your clipboard, which is super nice for getting stuff into the right format so that you can use it later inside your clipboard. So I've been using this really often. This is like probably the feature that I've integrated into my workflow the quickest with Credo, you know, when a new feature comes out, because it just makes sense to have these right at the tip of your fingers. And using the command palette is just really nice because it's consistent with the way that I think about, oh, I need to Base64 encode. So, you know, Control K, Base64 encode, boom, done. So definitely check those two features out. Those are in the Even Better plugin in the Credo store. Okay, next thing I'm excited about, which I've talked about a couple times already, so, you know, just bear with me, guys, is the Notes++ plugin is amazing. And it really has changed the way that I make notes in Credo, okay? And there's a couple of reasons for that, but the feature that I use the most is the Windows Shift N feature in Notes++, which you can be in replay, you're doing your thing, you find a gadget, you find something you need to take a note on, and you just press Windows Shift N, and it pops up in a little box that's attached to your current open note in Notes++. And you can write whatever you want in there, and there's a little box that's automatically checked that says attach current context. And what it will do is insert your note into the note that you have in your plugins Notes++ tab, but it will also attach the current replay tab, like a beautiful graphical representation of the current note. So let me go ahead and for those of you that are on YouTube, I'm going to go ahead and share my screen really quickly here so you can see what I'm talking about, because it is quite nice. Here we are. Here it is right here. So you can see, you know, the beautiful graphical representation of this specific request, and then you can click on it and jump right over into this, HTTP request in replay. Super clean, very useful for making sure that you know where all of your requests are. And I use it constantly. Really, I kind of struggled with taking notes before, but this makes it so easy that I actually do it now. One of the improvements that I would like to kind of see in this area, which is something we're thinking about implementing, is the ability to do voice notes. And I know Monke did a plugin a while back, sort of that had a feature like this, but it'd be really awesome if we could just press a key binding and then just say bloody 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 blah, you know, enter, and that would be automatically converted into text and stored in the note for us. I think that would be the maximum amount of friction reduction. Like that would just make it super easy. But I guess you do have to have like your microphone and stuff like that. I don't normally hack like this with my microphone right next to my face and stuff like that. So yeah, I guess there's some workshopping to do there, but I think it would still be really helpful. I think that's good for Notes++. Definitely check it out if you're you know, taking notes inside of your kind of environment. Next up is Shift Agents. And I've talked about Shift Agents, I believe, once or twice before in the podcast, but I have recently started using them and it's super helpful, okay? So what I've done is I've created a couple micro agents, and the one that actually has found me a vulnerability, or I guess this one's more of a gadget that I've chained into a vulnerability, is my domain restriction bypass microagent. Okay. So for those of you that haven't heard of shift agents, let me explain what it is. Essentially, shift agents is the ability for you to define little micro agents within Kaido. Okay. And so you can give it like, you know, system prompt or whatever. It's got all the tools to like modify your current replay tab and that sort of thing. And then you give it task and it, you know, creates a to-do list, goes through the to-do list. If it finds something interesting, it creates a finding for you to alert you of what it found. Okay. So it allows you to sort of build your own hackbot workflows within Kaido. And the one that I built, like I said, was a domain restriction bypass, microagent. And I had a scenario where I was looking at an open redirect, looking for an open redirect, and I handed it off to this agent and it was able to go through my whole workflow successfully, you know, that I would have done manually. Okay, let's check the dots for regex. Let's, you know, check an ends with, let's check an invalid, you know, parsing of, you know, the URL. Let's check Unicode normalization. And it was actually able to find a vulnerability via the, you know, at sign at the front of the URL. And that was something that I had documented in the various, you know, system prompt sections that I passed into it. And then it was able to correctly identify that and create a finding with open redirect. So that saves me time and effort, right? First, I give it a stab at it, right? So for those of you that haven't played around with it, essentially how it works is you open up a replay tab, you pop open the little agent side window, you give it the system prompt you want, and then, you know, some just-in-time instructions, and then you essentially delegate that replay tab to the AI. Then, you know, you continue doing your thing, you come back, you know, either it creates a finding and you see it on the side, or you come back and you can review what it did by sort of tabbing back and forth between your replay session and seeing what exactly it did. So for me, that's been working quite well. I've been pleased. I was pleased that it was able to implement that. It saved me time. I think I've used less than $7 total right now, as far as money goes, you know, to fund the AI on OpenRouter. And I've had decent success with Gemini. That's the one I've been using currently. But I've heard from, you know, the Xbox write-ups and stuff like that, that GPT-5 is like a big level up as far as hacking performance goes. So I'm excited to play around with that a little bit as well. So I think now is the time, you know, I guess without you know, fudding it too much, this industry is going to change for sure within the next year and has changed already. You know, if you're not using AI at all in your workflow, you know, if you're not like at least having a Gemini tab open and being like, hey, you know, tell me about this, tell me about that, or using it to parse docs or, you know, attack vector ideate or do source code review, then you're behind, to be perfectly frank with you. But I think it's going to continue to progress in such a way that if you are not integrating AI directly into your workflow to save you time, then you're going to get even further behind. So I think now is a good time to start developing these microagents. You don't have to use them constantly, but just realize that developing these microagents is not a sunk cost, because eventually they're going to work. Eventually they're going to work amazing, right? And as you start refining your prompt over time, that prompt, you know, can be ported. Okay, maybe shift agents isn't the thing you use. Maybe you use something else, right? But those prompts can be ported into, you know, other AI assisted hacking systems. Okay, so go ahead and get started writing some system prompts, and I think Shift AI is a great place to do it. Okay, you can grab that in the Kaido store. By the time this episode is out, the new version of Shift Agent should be integrated to Shift in the Kaido plugin store. So go grab it, play around with it, write yourself a system prompt. These episodes are typically longer, right? They're not these little short episodes. So the time that you would have spent listening to CTBB today, okay, go ahead and take that and build yourself at least one system prompt in Shift Agents. And throw it at something this week, okay? I think that'll be a good step for most of you to start integrating AI into your actual hacking workflow. All right, next up is Drop, which is just super awesome, okay? This is a plugin that I wrote in Architect, and actually this is probably my crown jewel as far as engineering goes, because it's a pretty sick plugin, and it is end-to-end encrypted, and it allows you to send like various objects in Kaido a match and replace rules, replay tabs, HTTP requests from HTTP history, scopes, filters, whatever, send it to your friend instantly within Kaido. So all you do is you grab your friend's, PGP public key, you drop it into drop, you drop it into drop. See what I did there? You drop it into drop, and then now you just literally on any object in Kaido, top right corner, typically there's like a little drop button. You click that, click their name, and then boom, it's in their Kaido instance. Super seamless, extremely easy to set up, publicly host an instance with full end-to-end encryption using PGP. You can read the spec and all the code is public. So you can see exactly what we're running. Definitely use it if you collaborate at all with people. It is extremely useful. All right, that's as far as it goes for plugins. Let me tell you guys about a couple more things and then we'll call it a wrap for today. Lately, I have been having a lot of fun with workflows in Kaido. Workflows are the way for you to do sort of quick and dirty automation within Kaido. And they're gaining a lot of capability and they're going to continue to gain a lot of capability over the next quarter or two. One of the things that I've been doing recently is using the auto session refresher functionality that I built in the workflow. And if you guys are interested in figuring out how to do this, you can go to kaido.rhinorator.com and I've got a lab there that I set up for the Becoming a Kaido Power User workshop at DEF CON. And there's a little lab where you can download the workflow and that sort of thing. But the TLDR of the situation is you can create a passive workflow in Kaido that automatically looks at for a specific host, grabs a specific set of cookies or whatever, and then creates an environment variable, which is like sort of a way to store data within Kaido with those actual values. And then, and it just does that constantly, anytime a request comes through HTTP history. Then whenever you are looking to like send a request in replay and you press send and it's like, oh, 403, your session expired. You're like, shit, now I gotta go create another replay tab. And then everything gets so messy. So the right way to do it is have the session refresher automatically extract the session. And then you just create a replay placeholder with that specific environment variable that's always updated. And then you never have to worry about updating your session ever again. And your session will always be live. So very, very useful piece of functionality there. The template workflow for that is at kaido.rhinorator.com under the session monitoring lab. So go ahead and check that out. If you want to get your hands on it. Also, the latest version of Kaido comes with, finally, I convinced them to ship it, my top level navigation highlighter plugin. Now, this is literally one of the most transformational things that I've ever seen in HTTP proxies, okay? And essentially what it does is it just uses sec fetch headers to highlight top level navigations in Kaido. And that is finally shipped native with Kaido, which is great. So just go to passive workflow, turn it on, and then when you, do a top-level navigation in your browser or an iframe-level navigation, you'll see that highlighted inside of HTTP history, which makes it super easy to orient yourself within Kaido. If you're not using this, your life will change when you use this, okay? So please just give it a shot. I'm begging you, because it is super helpful for orienting yourself in HTTP history, and I have literally no idea how I lived without it. Like, it takes forever to find any request now. Without this, I loaded up a raw version of Kaido the other day, and I was like, "How does anybody do this in Burp or in raw Kaido without this on?" So definitely life changing. All right, last but not least, I wanted to share a little case study of how I used Kaido workflows recently to really, really enhance my hacking experience. Okay, there's a target that I was hacking on that instead of sending requests to a specific path, they would just send it to all to the same path. And include an RPC ID. Okay, that RPC ID was just a 6-digit alphanumeric string. And it was super annoying because you could never tell what was happening in the app. However, in the JS files, there was sort of a mapping. It wasn't a direct mapping. It was like, a couple hundred characters separated, but they were always, the same couple hundred characters separated between the RPC ID and the actual like name, human-friendly name of whatever that RPC correlated to. So I was able to create a workflow plus match and replace rule system here that allowed me to sub in that ID, the human readable value for that directly into the HTTP request at send time, which allowed me to understand this app so much better without having to constantly cross-correlate these RPC IDs, okay? So here's how I did it. I created a passive workflow, and what that passive workflow is run automatically anytime a request comes through HTTP history. That passive workflow would look for a specific regex in JavaScript files, and it would extract the RPC ID to human readable path correlation, okay? And it would store that in a Kaito environment variable. So now you've got a map of RPC ID to path, boom, extracted with passive workflows. Then I created a match and replace rule in Kaito, which adds a query parameter, which first, you know, checks the regex to make sure that this request is, you know, the one of the requests that has the RPC ID. And then it adds a query parameter to the request. Let me be clear. The replacer for the match and replace was a workflow, right? So this is one of those sort of advanced workflows that you can do, or advanced match and replace rules that you can do with Kaito, where you match on a regex, and then your replacer is actually generated by a convert workflow. Okay, so you match on the regex, you extract the RPC ID from that regex, and inside of the convert workflow, you cross-correlate that RPC ID with all of your environment variables, right? And you say, okay, oh, I found the RPC ID. Now I've got the corresponding path. Now let me go ahead and add a query parameter to that specific request that says human readable path equals, and then, you know, whatever you cross-correlated it to. And then I was able to look at the modified request in search and just kind of use that as my HTTP history for now, where I could see the flow of the actual human readable versions of the HTTP requests as they were coming through. This helped me understand the app so much better and saved me so much time of having to like investigate all of these RPC IDs. It took about 15 minutes to set up, and that investment paid massive dividends, and I got a 20K bounty because of this. And the 20K bounty was literally like an IDOR in the front of this app, but nobody found it because everything was so obfuscated and hard to work on. So take some time, invest deeply in these in these sort of ways to improve your automation, and you'll find some really crazy stuff. All right, guys, that's a wrap for today. I got to call it. I know this isn't the typical episode, but I hope you guys enjoyed it and got something out of it anyway. All right, we'll see you next week. Peace. And that's a wrap on this episode of Critical Thinking. Thanks so much for watching to the end, y'all. If you want more Critical Thinking content, or if you want to support the show, head over to ctbb.show/discord. You can hop in the community. There's lots of great high-level hacking discussion happening there, on top of masterclasses, hackalongs, exclusive content, and a full-time hunter's guild if you're a full-time hunter. It's a great time, trust me. All right, I'll see you there.